seated. We've come today to do several things together. And it's because we can do these things better together than we can alone. First of all, we have come to remember a beautiful lady and an impactful life. We're going to do a lot of that today, and that's normal and good. We're going to remember Sally as she was. And we're going to recount the impact that she had on our lives. But we're not just here to remember, because within that remembering, it leads rather naturally to our next goal, and that is to recognize a devastating loss and to be honest about it. We don't do grief well in our culture. We have a lot to learn from other cultures. Someone will ask, well, how's Michael doing? Well, what do you mean by that? He's grieving, and that's good and normal. That's what we need to do together today. So we need to grieve and understand that it is God's gift. And know that every tear that you shed is a memorial to Sally's impact on your life. And then in the midst of that difficulty and that hurt, we're going to offer to God what, Mike, I thought you were so appropriate to call it two mornings ago, a sacrifice of praise. Because He is still God, and He is still good, not just on a day like today, especially on a day like today. But upon returning thanks and praise to God, Sally made it clear to me many times that at her funeral I had better tell people how to become a follower of Jesus Christ. So we're going to run to the cross. That's our goal today. Would you pray with me? Father, we come on this day and we certainly, desperately need your help. Please help us in these next few moments to meet these goals and these desires. Thank you for Sally Glaze. Thank you so much for allowing her life to intersect mine and to influence it in very deep and meaningful ways that will last. And Lord, like Michael said the other day, We're going to praise you anyway. Right in the middle of this storm, we're going to praise you because you're the God of the storm. Help us to know a new level of your peace and your love today. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to hear a song now called I Will Praise You in the Storm.
Again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. Who you are, no matter where I am.
That's an appropriate song for right now. We're going to praise God in the midst of this storm. Mike is going to come now and say a few words about Sally. And as he's coming, I just want to say that Michael is a special fella. He really is. And I look at him as an example of what it means to be a husband, a father, and a grandfather. And I don't say that about too many folks, but I can say that freely about Mike Glaze. Mike, if you want to come at this time. You might come around.
I want to thank each and every one of you first for coming for this attending Sally's celebration of life. And that's what it is. And I want to give some special thanks to Pastor Paul, because Pastor Paul has been with us through a lot of difficult times in life, times that most people probably would never face. And whenever those times come, his pastor's heart comes shining out. Because when things are the worst, he's the best. Jim and Norma's been right beside us during this whole thing, through ICU, emergency room. And Jim was even with me the other night when Sally went home. Andy and Lisa Baker, they're great friends and neighbors. And Lisa, the other night when Sally first turned sick, she stayed with Key all night and stayed on the couch. I want to thank all our families for traveling down the distance they traveled, our friends that traveled the distance they traveled, and the help that the families have given us, being Key, with cleaning and laundry and food, our church family. Because, you know, without your prayers and your support, we wouldn't be able to make it through this. We've been truly blessed in every aspect by each and every one of y'all. And the first thing, the one I want to thank most of all this morning, is I want to thank God for giving me 33 years of marriage with a wonderful, unique woman, a very, very special woman. Didn't think she was special. She was very special. About 10 years ago, in a Sunday school class here, I stood before them and I shared my heart about the struggles that me and Sally had been through with the death of our son. We shared our heart about the struggles and the questions why. And at that point, we come to a point. And we had to come to the point where we asked ourselves, do we believe in God and what God tells us about everything, or do we not? And we decided, after much struggling, after much heart searching of our heart, that we did. And I stand before you 10 years later, and I still do. I still do. Does that remove the fact that I do believe? Does that remove the fact that my heart's breaking? Does that remove the fact that my arms are aching to hold her again? Is there's smile and comfort, comforting voice? And does that stop me from wondering why? No, it doesn't. I don't know why God took Sally, and God's okay with us asking.
That's right.
As you look in Psalms, David, man after God's own heart, he let God know when his child died. He was sad. He let him know when he was angry. He let him know when he was scared. And he was a man that was after God's own heart. God wants a relationship with each and every one of y'all. And he wants a relationship, and a relationship involves truth, and it involves telling God exactly what's on your heart. And I want to talk to couples this morning, especially husbands. When Sally was at ICU, I treasured a few precious moments I had through a few precious hours I spent with her. I mean, I was having to split my time between Key and Sally. And God answered the prayer because I prayed over her constantly, and he brought her home for me to take care of. And I had the honor of taking care of her for a few days. But Tuesday he called her home. And I would give anything for a few extra minutes with her. When she slept, I would do other things. If I knew she was going home, I would have just spent that time just holding her. Husbands, cherish your wives. The wife that God gave to you, you need to savor every minute because just like Tuesday for me, you don't ever know when your Tuesday is going to come. Bear with each other's differences. Have a spirit of forgiveness. Because when it comes down to this, there ain't nothing. All that don't matter. These minor things, these little things, these little differences of opinion. God made us different. He made us man and woman, thank God. And we just need to bear with each other's little differences, because when it's down to this, nothing like it matters. And a couple of the things I want to cover, y'all. Sally and us had started looking at our priorities, which was really kind of timely, what was really important. Because y'all know we're self-employed. Our daughter, Misty, she took over half of the companies. And we was beginning to try to slow down and put everything. We'd even decided to, with a new year, to get healthy and then try for the long run for Key and to put everything in order. And in order is God first, family second, and everything else after that. Money was way down the line. In fact, I want to read to you out of Matthew 6. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what things shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. In fact, we had taken the first vacation that we had taken time to take in 10 years, but for Christmas, during the week of Christmas, Sally wanted to show Key the ocean for the first time. And she showed God, Key, God's handiwork a lot of times, whether the raising of butterflies that they did together, her love of birds, flowers, mountains. And I can't even count the number of times I've seen them do shapes in the clouds, look at sunsets. And I would strongly encourage husband and wives to put first things first. Material things matter little at a time like this. And when you get to this point in life, you can look back, and nobody wishes they spent more time with the office. They wish they spent more time with their loved ones. And I would give anything I own for just more time with Sally. And last and most important is you don't know when it's your Tuesday, when you go draw your last breath. Sally was 65 beautiful years young. Our time here on life, our time here is short. James, we're told that life is just a vapor. But you're going to spend eternity in one or two places, heaven or a very real hell. Sally's eternity is in heaven. She's there now. This isn't her. This is a tent. The Apostle Paul said this was a tent, a temporary home. I have hope in a risen Savior that I will see her again. This is not the end. Revelations 21:4 tells us, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no sorrow or crying. There will be no pain, for the former things have passed away. All of you people here are friends, family, church family. And you know that life has never been easy for me and Sally, that things has not worked like they're supposed to. Me and her has fought many battles together in life. And there's nobody I would rather have my back than hurt. Now all that's behind Sally. She's in that place with no more tears, pain, or death. Although my heart screams with pain and emptiness, I'm happy she's at home. This is not our home. Thank God. I will see the love of my life again and be able to spend eternity without the garbage of this world. Me and her will spend eternity worshiping and serving God. Amen. And enjoying each other. You too are going to spend eternity somewhere. Heaven is my home. I spent too much time here for what seemed like a lot of the time of being hell on earth. I certainly don't want my eternity being separated from God, my wife, and my loved one. God has prepared a way for you to spend eternity with Him. Jesus told us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In just a little while, Pastor Paul is going to give you an opportunity to make a decision, the ones of you that have never accepted Christ as your Savior. And the ones of you that have but are not living in fellowship with Him right now. If Sally could talk to us right now from where she's at in heaven, she would most certainly tell you to choose the way, the truth, and the life through Jesus Christ. In closing, Annette's sister Sally said something to me the other day that was very true. She said, when Sally died, the earth's dimmer switch was turned down. The world of my life are definitely missing that light that Sally gave. I thank God for giving me that light for 33 years. I want to end in the words of Job and offer a sacrifice of praise. Job had heartache and problems we can't even envision. But in the end, he stated, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. Mike, you didn't tell me you were going to preach my sermon, brother. That was good. Such truth communicated honestly, openly. That is a beautiful thing. We're here to remember. And we are recording this for family purposes. But at this time, Michael asked me to kind of open it up if anyone wanted to say something about Sally. My two things. Number one is I'm going to have Thomas here come. I've got a wireless microphone. I would like to get that recorded. And two, you know, keep it as brief as you can. And I know at least one family member for sure is going to come and say something. So if you've got something you'd like to share about Sally, Thomas, if you come, I'll give you this microphone. Just to raise your hand, Thomas will come to you, and feel free. This is our time to remember. Anybody at all? Where is Kia? All right, memory in the back. Where's Miss Kia? Is she in here? All right, memory's going to speak. And Kia, I want you to share with this group what you shared Wednesday night in church. That just blessed me to no end. Miss Memory first, Thomas, and then Kia. Memory's right in front of you.
I just want to say that we have truly lost a light out of this world. She was a beautiful woman, and I love the honesty of her and Michael together. They were such a team, and they were so upfront about everything. And that's the way husbands and wives should be through it all. They were fiercely loyal, not only to each other, but to their family and to their friends to a fault. They were generous, and no one had hearts bigger. They've just been beautiful people to my family, to my children. And my daughter is devastated, too, even from a distance, because she loves Sally so much. And all the giving she did for her through the food pantry to this church, the many hours, many days of sweat and tears, her and Michael both together, I'm just so appreciative to have known her. And I won't take up any more time because I could talk all day about a beautiful woman. And thank you for this time.
Back to Key, right behind Memory, Thomas.
Every Sunday we came and sat in church, and we would always sit beside Miss Sally and Mr. Michael, and of course Miss Sunshine herself, Key. And either Key took my baby or Miss Sally took my baby, but
that's true.
I never had my baby. But I spoke in church. My daughter and Miss Sally were in the ICU at the same time. And I think Miss Sally went in right after Autumn. But she happened to call the house right before she went into the hospital. And when I got out of the hospital, I called her back and spoke with her. And I'm going through some cancer treatments, and I was trying to ask her how she was doing, but she was more concerned about how Autumn was doing and how I was doing. And I told her, no, I'm okay, Miss Sally, I'm okay. I want to know how you are. God's not going to take me from my children. They don't have anybody else. And she told me, I ought to hit you. They have God.
Amen.
They have Jesus. And I said, you know what? You're right, Miss Sally. And I said, I don't know what I do. What I do, you know, I'm not here to help them and teach them. She said, well, all you have to do is teach your children every day, raise your children every day, like today is the last day, and they'll be okay tomorrow. And I'll remember that for the rest of my life.
Thank you.
So, and you see that. You see the love that Mr. Michael and Miss Sally have in Key. She's the sweetest little girl I've ever seen in my life. So that being said, I love y'all.
Amen. Thank you. You all be thinking that if you want to say something in just a minute. Let me read this from Sally's grandson, LaMichael. He said, dear Nanny, you're one of the greatest grandmothers a kid could ever have. And I know that you knew that I loved you with all my heart. The last time I came, we had lots of fun, and even gave each other lots of love, too. I really think that a little too soon, you went away because I really wanted you to meet that one special girl I told you about. I guess you can still see her from heaven now, but I'm glad you're in better hands. You're in the Lord's hands. Love your grandson, LaMichael Shoemaker. Very good. Very well said. Excellent. And I also want to read this from Sally's sister, Annette. Sent this to me on Facebook. And I just thought this was so neat. She said, Sally was a firstborn in our family and always was, in capital letters, the boss. Can you believe that? I have a hard time imagining that, Michael. Our mother worked when we were small, and Sally took care of us after school and on weekends. For our entire lives, she was our second mom. After she married and Tommy Jr. and Misty came along, she would be at our house on Friday afternoon when Sandra and I came home from school to pick us up. We would spend the weekends at her house. Anything we had, Sally provided for us. School clothes, trips to Six Flags, eating out at the Varsity, and going to Live Atlanta Wrestling. Yes, we did every Saturday. And it was all because of Sally. Our parents didn't have the financial means to entertain us. They just tried to keep us fed and warm. She taught me how to drive a stick shift. She taught me how to pluck my eyebrows. She taught all of us that family sticks together. We might argue, we might say things we regret later, but heaven help the outsider that said anything about our family. She was fiercely protective of those she loved, no matter what. Isn't that true of our Sally? Amen. Amen. Courtney's wants to say something. All the way up in the front. Yeah. You want to...
Found out my grandmother had passed. Anybody who was at my father's funeral, I sung at my father's funeral, and I was rambling through some songs trying to figure out what song would express how I felt about my grandmother. And I called my sister, and she brought up the Celine Dion song, Because You Love Me, and I want to dedicate that song to my grandmother. I might not make it through the song completely without breaking down, so please, please, please bear with me, okay? For all those times you stood by me, for all the truth that you made me see, for all the joy you brought to my life, for all the wrongs that you made right, for every dream you made come true, for all the love I found in you, I'll be forever thankful, Nanny. You're the one who held me up and never let me fall. You're the one who saw me through it all. You were my strength when I was weak. You were my voice when I couldn't speak. You were my eyes when I couldn't see. You saw the best there was in me. You picked me up when I couldn't reach. You gave me faith because you believed. I'm everything I am because you love me. You gave me wings and I could fly. You touched my hand, I could touch the sky. I lost my faith, you gave it back to me. You said no stars were out of reach. You stood by me and I stood tall. I had your love, I had it all. I'm grateful for each day you gave me. Maybe I don't know that much, but I know this much is true. I was blessed because I was loved by you. You were my strength when I was weak. You were my voice when I couldn't speak. You were my eyes when I couldn't see. You saw the best there was in me. You picked me up when I couldn't reach. You gave me faith because you believed. I'm everything I am because you love me.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Amen. I'm going to say one more thing. Good job. And Courtney, I want you to know your nanny loved you. And she was very proud of how well you're doing. And I want to encourage you to continue in that path. You know, Courtney, I read something the other day, and really, it was even before your nanny went to be with Jesus, that made me think about her. It said, if you want to leave a legacy, you got to live one. And she did. And she did it in Sally Glaze fashion. You know? And I've always been impressed with that. Sally has a friend, Sandy Bembry. Is that correct? And she said this comes to me through Misty. And I'm going to read what, I'm going to share with you what Sandy said. And then I'm going to ask Ellie if she would play this song. And this is from Misty to her mama called Hero. Sandy related to Misty today. You know, it was doing more than misting out there, Misty, this morning. It was coming down in sheets. And Sandy said, you know, I'm kind of glad it's raining on the day that we have Sally's funeral. And Misty said, why? She said, because your mom loved rainbows so much. And she did. Two things I know. She loved rainbows and butterflies. And here's what Sandy said that was so telling. She said, you have to get through the rain in order to get a rainbow. You know, Sally had to get through this life. And, you're going to be honest about it. A lot of Sally's life and the things that God sovereignly placed into her life were stormy. Stuff that nobody in this room would be signing up for if we passed out a sheet. Okay? But God knew what kind of person Sally was because he made her. And brothers and sisters, she pushed through that storm. And you talk about a rainbow on the other side. The Bible says we don't have the ability to even begin to imagine what she is experiencing right now. Wow. Wow. And she definitely has pushed through her storm and is enjoying the glory of eternal light. And she's left us an example and a legacy. And she is, for many, and specifically for Misty, a hero.
Shot to win the game. She's never left her footprints on the moon. She's never made a solo hot air balloon ride around the world. No, she's just your everyday average girl, but she is somebody's hero, a hero to her baby.
She certainly is that. All right, we're gonna move on. But before I do, I just wonder if there's anyone else that wants an opportunity. I don't want to cut that off because that's what we're here to do. All right, let me talk to you just briefly about something I knew about Sally from early on. We've been here. The Lord's allowed us to be at this church for 13 years. Right after we came, my wife had a ladies' Bible study, and they went through John 15. And let me just read the first five verses. Somehow that had an impact on Sally. And she just took John 15:5 as her. She said, that's my verse. And whenever I'd preach on that, she would just light up in the back because she had that one memorized. Not just did she have it memorized, she lived it because she understood it at a core level. Here's what it says. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it can bear more fruit. And by the way, there's a principle there. Either way, you're getting cut. That's life. That cutting will either make you bitter or better. And a lot of that is how soon are you willing to submit to a Father God's plan for your life. Sally understood that. Verse 3. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And here's Sally's verse. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. And this is the part that, just why she loved this. She believed this part. For without me, you can do nothing. And there's one thing Sally Glaze believed. She believed that. That without God, she could do nothing. And I don't know how it happened. It was truly the grace of Almighty God. But somehow, very shortly after we came here, I was preaching a simple gospel message like Michael shared with us today. That God knew that we had a problem. Every single one of us come into this world as sinners. That's all we can do. And we do it well. We produce sin. And we do it all the time. Nothing else we can do. We don't have any ability in us to produce righteousness. The Bible says that all of our good works that people say are good or we think is good, God says they're all as filthy rags in God's sight because they don't come from a heart that is worshiping God. They come from a heart truly that is worshiping me as God. So even the good stuff we do has ulterior motives. That's a hard message for a lot of people to hear. We got a sin problem we could do nothing about. God had a son who could not sin. And he sent that son who could not sin for someone like me who couldn't do anything but sin and could do nothing about it to fix it. He sent his son, lived a sinless life, died in my place, was placed in the ground, and 3 days later arose at the command of the Father because his sacrifice had been accepted and my standing before God because of Christ's work was sealed. I don't understand how this works, but I've seen it and I've dedicated my life to it. That message changes people from the inside out. And one day, very shortly after we came here, I preached a message very similar to that. And a light came on. God illumined Sally's heart, revealed Christ to her. Sally never had a problem seeing her sin. She had a problem seeing her Savior. She, like a lot of folks, wanted to pay for her own sin. And that was the biggest. She choked on grace for a little bit. But that day, it was a done deal. God saved her. God made her his own. And I got to tell you something. She changed. And Michael probably knows that better than any of us in this room. But Sally changed. One of the things she loves is butterflies. Key was showing me yesterday the little container that they have on the back porch that they put cocoons in, the little caterpillars, and then they turn them, they watch them form into butterflies. You know, that caterpillar goes into that cocoon You know, that's not like a snuggly creature. You don't have like pictures of caterpillars on your wall. They're kind of creepy, aren't they? And they're kind of prickly, and this is, you know, only a mother could love a caterpillar. I think we're a lot like that, aren't we? But see, what happens is they go into that cocoon, and a transformation takes place. Over that time, something happens, and that caterpillar transforms into a butterfly. When they come out of that cocoon, those wings spread, and they fly away. The Bible says that God is making us just like Jesus. He is transforming us into, the writer Paul said, the express image of Jesus Christ. In other words, he is, God's whole purpose in Sally's life was to make her look just like Jesus. This whole existence on this earth, this earth trek, is nothing but a big cocoon. And God, for those who are his, is in the business of transforming us to look exactly like his son. Now you can do one of two things. You can fight that, or you can embrace it. And God's given us everything that we need to embrace it. And Sally did a little bit of both, like we all did and all do. But she embraced it far more than she fought it. And on Tuesday night, she got her wings. And she is who she will be for all of eternity. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any person is in Christ, they are a brand new creation. The old things have passed away. The caterpillar things have passed away. All of the pain. Sally had more than her fair share of pain in this world. And I want you to know, and the rest of that says, all things have become new. Let me tell you, the moment that Sally woke up in Jesus' presence Tuesday evening, every ounce of pain she ever experienced was gone and was replaced with a bliss and a joy that we can't even comprehend. What an amazing, amazing truth that can comfort us certainly on a day like today. My question is, what about you? In a minute, we're going to hear a song. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask you to sing the song. It's Amazing Grace. We know it. And I'm going to ask you to sing it. Amazing Grace and My Chains Are Gone. We're going to sing that song together. And then I'm going to ask you to search your heart while that's going on. Do you have a relationship with God? And if you do, is it based on stuff that you're doing or what Jesus did? Because I want to tell you something, folks. When you come to God for forgiveness of your sin and to be made into his child like Sally Glaze was, you don't bring anything to the table. Don't you dare bring one word saying, here's what I did to help myself, God. No, God brings the table. It's called the cross of Calvary. He's done it all. There's nothing for you and I to do but to run to the cross. Let's think about that as we sing, and then we'll give you an opportunity to tell God that you want to be his own. Let's sing that song together as it comes up.
Ah.
Thank you, Lord, that one day Sally came to the realization that is based on nothing on Sally's side, but everything on God's side. What about you? Sally told Michael, actually fairly recently, which was a lot of interesting thing happened. She didn't know, but she almost, looking back, wondered if God didn't. Sure gave her some wisdom to share. She said to Michael not all that long ago, she said, "Well, Michael, your life preaches your funeral." And it does. What about your life? You know, one day it's going to be you up here. I read somewhere it said we should live our lives in such a way that the preacher doesn't have to lie at your funeral. Sally did. And you and I don't have a chance of doing that. Unless Jesus Christ lives through us. For without me, you can do nothing. So I want to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior this afternoon. And I'm going to read one more scripture. We're going to close with a song and a prayer. Would you bow your heads? And if you're here today and you say, "You know what, Paul, I don't know where I am with God. I've come to him with all the stuff that I've done, and I thought that was good enough, but I realize it's not, and that Jesus did everything for me." If that's you today, please know that there's no prayer that you pray that makes you a believer. You just believe. You agree with God that you can't do anything about your sin and that Jesus died in your place. Faith is what saves you. But if that's you today, maybe pray a prayer with me, something like this. "Dear God, I come to you in Jesus' name. I'm a sinner. You know that better than anybody. And I can't do one thing to change myself and to change my identity. That's why you sent Jesus. And he died in my place. And I believe that. And I receive his perfect record and give him my broken life. Thank you for making me your child and for accepting me as your own. In Jesus' name, amen." I pray that some of you prayed that. I pray that some of you today have put your faith in Christ. There could be no greater testimony to Sally's life than that today. Michael asked me to read this last passage, Revelation 21. "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying, nor shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away.' Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are faithful and they are true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of life, of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. And he who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God and he shall be my son. Your weeping lasts for a night, but your joy will come in the morning. This is your night, but morning's coming. We'll laugh again. We will dance again. These grandkids will grow up and get married. More children will be born, and Sally's legacy will live on. But tonight is our night. It's our time to recognize this loss, but to do so in faith, knowing that God is good and the gospel is true. Michael asked us to play this last song. It so perfectly fits. I want you to listen to it. It's called There Will Be a Day.
Face.
last verse of the Bible says this, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly." It's a good prayer. Father, we love you today. We love this family. We love the gospel because it makes a day like today bearable as we sorrow in hope and confident assurance of that day that's coming and of a heaven that our dear Sally is experiencing right now. But in the meantime, Lord, we just ask for your strength. Thank you for the word that has gone forth today, for the courage that you gave our brother Mike to be able to stand up and say so wonderfully and powerfully what he shared. Bless this family. And Lord, those that maybe became your own today as a result of this truth, this simple gospel, may you continue to infill them with your spirit and make them look just like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.